السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب، أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان، فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, last week we made mention of the three gifts that Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received when invited by his Creator. I would like to start off today by pointing out one of the three gifts and then allowing that to be the principle on which we will construct our discussion of today. We made mention that there's a hadith in Muslim on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, once I was sitting with Jibreel. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was present. And then suddenly we heard a sound from above. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that a valuable, a very precious door has opened today that had never ever opened before. And through that door, an angel is descending that has never ever descended before. So after a short time, the angel descended and glad tidings were given to Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of two lights. So it was said to the Nabi of Allah, glad tidings to you, you are going to receive two lights. So the two lights were Surah Fatiha, the opening surah of the glorious Quran, and the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 285 and 286. I made mention last week at the end of this narrative, it has been stipulated that there is a section in the first light, and that is Surah Fatiha, and there is a section in the second light, the two last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, that consist of dua. And when a person makes dua from the two lights, that dua will be accepted. So basically, the dua of the first light is from verse number 4 onwards. And the dua of the second light is the last verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 286. Not Aman al-Rasul, that is 285, that is not the dua, but the following verse. So from this we can clearly understand that these two nurs, lights that were given to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, brought towards us a format by which we can remember our Allah, supplicate to our Creator and present our need, knowing that it will be accepted. So this is the light. And this is the reward of Al-Mi'raj as well, as we know, that Suratul Baqarah, or the last verses of Suratul Baqarah, were received by the Nabi of Allah in Mi'raj as well. Now, in a few weeks, orators, imma throughout the entire world are going to commence their sermon, their lectures, with a verse of Suratul Baqarah, verse 183. This entire section of Suratul Baqarah is dedicated to the month of Ramadan. So this ayat 183, Suratul Baqarah, Kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun, is going to be echoing in the entire Muslim world. It is going to be echoing. You will hear me recite it. You go to another mosque, you will hear another imam reciting it. It doesn't matter if it is in the West. It doesn't matter if it's in our countries, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, South Africa. All the imam will recite this ayat. And it speaks about the month of Ramadan and the fine laws pertaining to the month of Ramadan. But if we travel through this entire section from verse 183, we come to know that at verse 186, that is dead in the middle of this section, Allah, in a very unique manner, drifts away, shifts away from speaking about the month of Ramadan and introduces something else. So apparently, what Allah speaks about in verse 186 has nothing to do with Ramadan, it has nothing to do with Siyam, fasting, and it has nothing to do with the fine details, apparently. And that verse is, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That when the Sahaba ask you, when my servants ask you, O Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, concerning me, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, you should tell the Sahaba directly and the entire Ummah indirectly, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, indeed I am very, very near. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, closer to a person than his jugular vein. Very, very close by. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ. When a person makes dua to me, calls upon me, I respond to his dua. So when the supplicant makes a supplication, I respond by accepting his dua. Now, this fragment of ayat 186 in the section that has been designated for the month of Ramadan apparently seems out of place. Apparently it seems out of place. But the scholars have said that the pre- and the post mavameen topics of this section are very, very connected to this fragment of verse 186. They say that this fragment encapsulates the entire section. It encapsulates the entire section, because the maqsad of the month of Ramadan, that is to arrive in a few days, is to connect us with our Creator. That's it. The month of Ramadan and all other forms of ibadat have been introduced so we can establish a ta'alluq with Allah Almighty. And there is no better way to establish ta'alluq with Allah Almighty than supplication. And that's why this fragment of verse 186 has a very strong connection with the mavameen, the topics discussed before and discussed after. Now I would like to make mention of the dua, the format that Allah has introduced, the divine format, that if we make a dua through that format, it will be accepted. And I'm speaking about dua today, tomorrow, maybe the following week as well. So we are well prepared before the month arrives, the blessed month, and we can dedicate ample time to the dua. Because we do not take dua seriously, we take it lightly. So it's most important that we understand that this by itself is a ibadat, as we will make mention with reference in a few moments. So Imam Muslim has recorded in Muslim on the strength of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَسَّمْتُ الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. قَسَّمْتُ الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. That salah and salah in this narrative unanimously alludes to Surah Fatiha. Unanimously, it's ijma'. Salah, the word, alludes to Surah Al-Fatiha. قَسَّمْتُ الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. That Surah Fatiha has been divided equally between me and my servant. Allah is saying this. Surah Fatiha has been equally divided by me and my servant. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. And for my servant is that which he has prayed for. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي. When my servant says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, as we will say in a few moments, and feel proud, Allahu Akbar, we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the universe, Allah responds. That's why they say it is preferred that the Imam, he pause on every ayat when making tilawat of the Salah, Surah Al-Fatiha, he should pause on every ayat. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Believing now that Allah is responding and Allah is saying, Hamadani Rabbi. Hamadani Abdi. When a person is saying, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah is responding. So he should pause there. That is the preferred method. I'm not saying it is incorrect to join the ayat, but the preferred method, so a person can enjoy this discussion, this kalam with his Creator, that he pause at every ayat, ponder for a split moment, and indeed it only takes a split moment to visualize that Allah is saying, Hamadani Abdi. So the person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and Allah Almighty says, Hamadani Abdi, my servant has paid homage to me. He has given me respect and honor. Then he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the All Merciful, the All Merciful, and the Most Beneficent. So this is what we say, the Abd. Allah Almighty says, Athna alayya abdi, my servant has praised me. Then we say, Maliki yawmiddin, the master of the day of judgment. And Allah Almighty says, Majjadani abdi, my servant has proclaimed my greatness. My servant has proclaimed my greatness. We say Majjadani, Allah says Majjadani Abdi, but what are we saying? Maliki Yawmiddin, Ya Allah, you are the true master on that amazing day. Then the servant says, Iyaka Na'bud wa Iyaka Nasta'een, we only worship you and we only seek your assistance. Allah says, Hada Baini wa Baina Abdi wa Li Abdi Ma Sa'al. This ayat is equally divided between me and my servant, and for my servant is that which he has asked for. So the first half of this ayah, you can link it with the previous three ayat, that it is an acknowledgement of the greatness of Allah Almighty. Because in the first ayat, we are acknowledging the greatness of Allah. Second, exactly the same. Third, exactly the same. And the fourth ayah, it is split into two, that the first half of the ayah is acknowledging that Allah is worthy of worship. That's why the creed of faith, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, one definition of this is La ma'buda illallah, La ma'buda illallah, there is none worthy of worship but Allah Almighty. And this is the meaning of Iyaka na'bud, Ya Allah, hum sirf aap hi ki ibadat karte. We only worship you. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. The second half of the fourth verse is connected with the coming verses, and then we present our need in front of Allah and we say, Ya Allah, we only seek your assistance. The response to that is wa li 'abdi ma sa'al. Whatever my servant will ask, I will grant it to him. Make sense? Then a person says, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And Allah Almighty in response says, هذا لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. This is for my servant only. This entire verse number 4, number 5, number 4 half, number 5, number 6, number 7 is wali abdi, for my servant, wali abdi ma sa'al, and I will grant my servant what he has prayed for. And that is that we are asking Allah for the right path. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. And that's why in Surah Ali Imran, in the first section, Allah Almighty says, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. That Ya Allah, do not allow our hearts to drift, sway away from the right path once you have adorned it with hidayah. This is the first dua. So always keep in mind that this is the best format of dua. And out of all the duas, the best dua is the dua of hidayah. Because Allah has chosen the dua of hidayah to be contained in the surah that encapsulates the entire Quran. Surah Fatiha encapsulates the entire Quran. Agar Quran ko samundar samjha jaye to kooza jo hai na wo Surah Fatiha hai. The entire Quran has been encapsulated in Surah Fatiha. Because there are three topics that have been discussed in the Quran. Tawheed, Risala, Akhirah. And all three, in a very unique manner, in a unique style, have been discussed in Surah Fatiha. And then in Surah Fatiha, the dua that has been chosen, and this is the divine selection, and there are so many different kinds of duas, the dua that has been chosen to be placed in that capsule that contains the entire Quran is the dua of hidayah. Allahu Akbar. This is the first nur. So always, the scholars say, when you're making dua, inject Surah Fatiha in your dua. Always, inject Surah Fatiha in your dua, from the start till the end. And from this we can understand the format. That whenever you're making dua, first glorify Allah. Do not start off by presenting your need. But first glorify Him. As Allah Himself has glorified Himself in the first three verses of Surah Fatiha, in the way that you can, in your own language. You can say, Ya Allah, you are the creator of the trees, and you are the creator of this universe, and you are the one that have created love, you created me, this and that. Speak about Allah. Speak as much as you can, and you will find, and I'm saying this through experience, that once you start off by speaking about Allah, maybe the first day you will run out of words. But after 1 year, you will come to know that you are speaking to Allah for half an hour about Him. And that is the most beautiful moment in the dua. That moment when you're speaking about Allah, that Ya Allah, you did this, Ya Allah, you are that, your greatness, blah blah blah. Aha, that is more greater in pleasure than presenting your own needs. And by the end, before presenting your needs, you know your dua is accepted. Because you feel that connection. Allah allows you to feel that connection because you have spoken about Him. Allah wants to be recognized. Allah wants to be praised. Allah wants us to praise Him. This is the format. And then after that, then إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. In reality, there's a subtle hint in this. And I would like you to, for a split moment, think about it. What does إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ mean? After praising Allah, the fourth ayah, the middle ayah, in reality is renewing your contract with your Creator. It is renewing your contract with the Creator. That Ya Allah, we are only going to worship You. You are the greatest. You deserve all praise. But I renew my contract, and that is that I'm only going to worship You. That's what you do in your dua as well. That Ya Allah, whatever I've done in the past, I make tawbah. Now I renew my contract of abdiyat, that I will remain Your slave, and now You present Your needs. So first, you glorify Allah. This is the format. Secondly, you renew your contract. And then thirdly, you present your needs. And one of the best ways to renew your contract has been made mention in the second light, and that is verse 280, Surah Al-Baqarah. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ إِلَىٰ آخِرِي. This is the best format by which you renew your contract with Allah Almighty. And let me tell you something, and I would like you to remember what I'm saying now. Allah answers in three ways. Remember my words. I'm encapsulating volumes and volumes of writings upon this topic in three statements. And I'm going to try to make it very easy. So Allah answers in three ways. He says yes, and He gives you what you want. He says no, and He gives you something better. He says wait, and He gives you the best. That is it, finished. I would like to say that again, so you remember it. There are three ways that He responds by. Teen tareekon se Allah ne haan ya na karna. He says yes, and He gives you what you want. Let that soak in. Got it? He says no, and He gives you something better. Got it? And the third one, He says wait, and He gives you the best. So which one is the best? The third one. So if you do not receive what you are asking for, do not become despondent. Because what is waiting is the best. Why do we want to take what is not the best? Always, this is the way of remaining positive. This is the way of remaining continuous in your du'as. If you have this in mind, this principle that I've made mention, that alright, I ask for something, I can't see it apparently being accepted, but the third component of this format is that the best is waiting on the other side. This will give you the ability to keep making du'a. Now, I want to make mention of one hadith, and this will allow us to look at dua from a different angle. So the hadith has been recorded by Imam Tirmizi on the strength of Hazrat Nu'man bin Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I heard from the Nabi of Allah, who said, الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is worship by itself. Dua by itself is worship. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then Nabiya Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse of the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ أَنْ عِبَادَتِي عِبَادَتِي يعني دعاء عبادتي يعني دعاء سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. الدعاء هو العبادة. دعاء, supplication by itself is worship. Then the Nabi of Allah recited the verse. Translation more or less of the verse is that Allah says, وَقَالْ رَبُّكُمْ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call upon me, I will respond. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Those that are proud, متكبر, arrogant, عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, from my ibadat. Now the word ibadat has been used, but it alludes to supplication, according to all the scholars. Those that are arrogant, proud, that they do not make dua, they think that they can contain themselves, sustain themselves, they do not need Allah Almighty, sayadkhuluna, sayadkhuluna, shortly. Sa, the scene before the verb yadkhuluna means shortly. For qareeb, sa, scene for qareeb. Sayadkhuluna, shortly they will enter hell, disgraced. So I want my noble brothers, as you read Quran, why do you read Quran? Because it is a form of worship. Why do you pray? Because it is a form of worship. Why do you give zakat? Because it is a worship. Dua is a worship. It is not only a medium through which you present your needs. It is a worship. And for every worship you are rewarded. Many a times in this dunya, many a times in the hereafter. So the dua, if not accepted by itself, it is a worship, and you will receive the reward on the other side that is much greater. Try to be that person that develops a prolonged dua. What do we say? Start praying. Today you are praying 2 units in 2 minutes. Increase the time. Improve your salah. Improve your ibadat of dua. Increase the time. Allah Almighty. You know, one person says, I don't have any time now. Why don't you have time now? Because I am stuck. I am busy. What are you doing? I'm trying to establish a business. Why are you trying to establish a business? So I can be prosperous. Prosperity in the hands of Allah. Your business will go down or up in the hands of Allah. The ahwal we do not make. I do not create my circumstances. I do not control my circumstances. The one that creates the circumstances, the one that controls my circumstances, we do not inject him in our affairs by making dua. How are we going to succeed? I would like everyone deeply to think about it. How many minutes dua do we make? And I'm not talking about the dua after salah. I'm talking about a dua where a person sits down in privacy, where he sits down and he communicates to Allah Almighty. How did the Nabi of Allah make a dua in Hajj for 5 hours? How? Do you think it just happened like that? That before that he never used to make dua, and suddenly he was in the plains of Arafah and he made dua for 5 hours? It's a practice. It is a practice. You have to be in that rhythm. You have to know what you are saying. How to construct the words. How to express your inner emotions. And that's why I say to my noble brothers and sisters, especially those brothers and sisters that are not from the Arab background, that indeed learn the du'as of the Quran, but your du'a, your inner sentiments have to be related to Allah through your own language. In your own language, there has to be emotion, there has to be kayfiyat, there has to be some kind of involvement in that dua. So from today, you've got about maybe 25, 26 days before the month of Ramadan. Because the month of Ramadan in reality is the month of dua. Because verse 186 has been placed in the section of Ramadan. And it comes right dead in the middle. Meaning that dua is what Allah wants from you. Indeed, read Quran, but if you read Quran for half an hour, let's make a dua for half an hour. People say, I can't sit down. Take the chair. Take the chair. Sit on the chair. Make yourself comfortable. But do not allow circumstances, your physical health, deprive you of the essence of ibadat that is a dua. Indeed, we will talk about this in the weeks to come. But my noble brothers and sisters, it's not a matter of relating knowledge. I believe that there may be many, many in the crowd that will have more knowledge than me. No, they may defeat me in the arena of knowledge. It's not a matter of knowledge. It is a matter that if I have related something, do I believe in it? Yes, I do believe in it. Do you believe in it? I believe you believe in it as well. Let's practice it. From today, let's put 5 minutes to the side. Let's start from 5 minutes. Let's increase that time. And without even realizing, after some time, you will feel that I could never make this dua. Where did these words come from? And why do I say this? On the day of judgment, and I will conclude on this. On the day of judgment, Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when approached by Jesus and humanity. So Jesus, peace be upon him, representing humanity, come to the door of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as Shafa'at Kubra. They say, Ya Rasulullah, can you ask Allah to start the Hisab Kitab, the accounts? So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam now is representing the entire humanity, past, future, present, everyone. And then Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will go to Allah and I will make sajda under the arsh of Allah Almighty, and I will glorify Allah with words that no creation before me has glorified Allah with. Now the scholars have said the meaning of this is because the Nabi of Allah used to make so much dua. The masnoon duas, if you study them from cover to cover, there are duas for every single movement of our life that indicate the profound love that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for Allah. You think about it. Allahumma ahsanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. Alhamdulillah. You read the du'as. Focus upon the translation. It is profound love for Allah. All the masnoon du'as. So he glorified Allah in a manner that no one could. But there is no limit to the words that glorify Allah. So on the day of judgment, when he places himself in the state of sajda, Allah will inspire him with words that no one has glorified him before. Meaning that if you keep making dua, Allah will guide you on this journey of dua. Today you are making that dua, you don't have the precise, the proper words, but you have that zeal, you have that enthusiasm, you are trying to create that connection. You will find after 1 year, suddenly Allah will inspire you with words and you will start to enjoy your dua. A time will come. And I say to my noble brothers, keep making a long dua till a time where the dua captures you and you cannot give it up. Listen to my words. Keep making dua. You see the results, you don't see the results, until the dua captures you. Keep praying until the prayer captures you. Now you can't go away. You go to the house, you want to leave, but your wife captures you. You can't go. He's there. Back in. Somebody there bringing you back. Can't leave the house. Likewise, make dua that now you are trying, you're running after dua. A time will come, the reward of this is the dua will run after you now. The struggle is you're running after salah right now. The reward is the salah will run after you. You're running after a'mal salihah. that effort is going to be rewarded, that the time comes, a'mal salihah runs after you, and then it meets you right in the middle, and then you walk together. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.